Hello, everybody. Cal Banyan here. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc., where we talk about, guess what, hypnosis, etc., but probably about 99 and 44 100th percent hypnosis. The topic for today is the dirty dozen hypnosis words, the 12 words you should never use when referring to anything having to do with our profession, hypnotism, or yourself as a professional. All right, if you're watching this anywhere except CalBanyan.com, you want to go there right now, because right there on CalBanyan.com, we have all the videos, over 400 hypnosis training videos just like this one, and we also have additional text, images, and links to supporting information. It's just where you got to go. Go to CalBanyan.com. All right, let's get this thing rolling. I'll tell you what. So, Brenda is my co-host. She's back. So glad to have her back. And let me tell you about Brenda. She's smart. She's delightful. She knows a lot about hypnosis. She helps me supervise students in the practice time when we have our classes here at the Banyan Hypnosis Center. That's right. When you take our classes at the Banyan Hypnosis Center, like the Banyan Hypnosis Certification Super Course, guess what? Every morning, every night, you get to practice what you learned that day. All right, let's see here. Let me tell you about Brenda. She has a bachelor's degree in sociology, a master's degree in criminology. If there was such thing as the hypno police, I'd put her in charge. Let's see, she sees clients every week at our center. She not just talks the talk. She doesn't just train people. She doesn't just help with things around the office. She sees clients. She sees so many clients. She's got clients going in and out of her office. That's just amazing. How are you doing, Brenda?
I'm doing great, Cal. It's great to be back here on the podcast. I know I have definitely been busy over the last couple of months, but it's nice to have some time today to be here on the podcast. So before we continue, I want to introduce everybody to you. Cal Banyan is the hypnosis celebrity and authority. He's received almost every award and recognition in the profession bestowed by the National Guild of Hypnotists. His books, Hypnosis and Hypnotherapy, as well as The Secret Language of Feelings, have made him an authority in hypnosis that works. And thankfully it works, because like we said, I know how much impact he's made on me in my career as a hypnotist and a hypnotherapist. Cal's a trainer of some of the best of the best of the profession. He's speaking, training, doing all kinds of work to elevate the profession, making public appearances, and of course these podcasts, over 450 podcasts available here on the internet to provide great nuggets of information for those of you out there to continue your ongoing learning, education, so that you can all be the best of the best as well. And so I'm glad to be here today to talk about those dirty dozen today. How about that, Cal?
You know what? I got 12 words, phrases, concepts that we got to stamp out of the profession. And I want you to stick with me to the last one, because I think you're going to get excited about that. All right. Number one, you got to get rid of it. We got to get rid of the idea of being under hypnosis. You hear it all the time. Yeah, I've heard hypnotists talk about that way. I've heard psychologists. Let's put them under hypnosis. The problem with that is, Brenda, can you think of anything that's wrong with the word under as far as hypnosis?
Well, one of the things that I can think about right away is that being under somebody else's control.
Absolutely. And you know what else? How about under a spell?
Ooh.
Yeah. There's nothing positive or even accurate about the term under. So we need to just wipe it out of the profession. Get it out of our books. Get it out of our promotional materials. Stop using it. We don't put them under. The other thing that people go under is what? Anesthesia. You know, so we got to get rid of that word. Nothing good about it at all. Can you think of any good reason to keep under in our profession?
I sure can't.
All right. Good, good. Hey, you guys who are listening to this, please leave comments right below. We got a place for comments. If you can think of another word we got to get rid of, or if you think we're wrong by saying these words have got to be gone, get them out of the textbooks, get them out of all training, wipe them away. Absolutely reject them. All right, next is susceptible. Let's find out how susceptible you are to hypnosis. Oh, I see this in research all the time. They will divide clients or subjects into those who are susceptible to hypnotism and those who are not susceptible. And when you hear the word susceptible, what does that make you think about, Brenda?
It's so funny. I'm thinking about this because these words, because I was trained by you, Cal, these are words that I don't use when it comes to hypnosis. So I was thinking of susceptible, a little bit about being open, but also I get that then what if the client thinks that they're not susceptible?
So I looked into this, I should also give you alternative words. Instead of under hypnosis, we'll use induce hypnosis. Instead of susceptibility, susceptibility, according to the dictionary, says it implies harm. That, for example, you become susceptible to a disease, susceptible to some kind of negative influence. Instead of using the word susceptible, let's use the word talented. Some people are more talented at going into hypnosis, more talented at using hypnotic suggestibility than others. How does that sound?
That sounds a lot more positive too, right?
Absolutely. Do you want to be susceptible or talented?
Oh, I definitely want to be talented.
Good. So good. Strike it from the profession. No more do we use this word. Here's another one that's just like that. Succumb. He or she succumbed to the influence of the hypnotist, succumbed to hypnosis. How's that? You want to succumb?
Definitely do not want to be succumbing to anything, right, Cal?
Right. So again, I looked this word up, succumb. And succumb refers to being like overtaken or influenced by a negative force. And so we don't want to succumb, not to anything. How about instead, we're empowered and we allow. We allow the suggestions we want. We allow the hypnotist to do her work, that kind of thing. What do you think? Would you rather succumb or allow?
Well, I would definitely rather allow, and I would certainly rather my clients allow as well, because again, we get back to that control issue, right? We want our clients to be open, allowing the process to continue.
Exactly. And that brings me to my word number 4. I'm checking these off as I go through them, and that is control, or the hypnotist takes control. I've seen this even in some modern texts, and they talk about how then the hypnotist takes control of the subject. And if you've been a hypnotist for very long and you're actually seeing clients, you're going to learn very quickly you do not have control. They can opt out at any time. They can lie to you. They can fail to follow instructions. And that this idea of having control is not there. Look, instead, we look for compliance and suggestibility. Would you rather, have someone take control of you or choose whether or not you're going to be compliant or accept suggestions?
Well, I'm definitely all about having choice, right, Cal? And I definitely think that our clients, we want them to be able to make choices to buy in, to opt in, and to comply with the process, not think that someone has control or power over them.
Cool. And, and as I'm going through these, because I'm trying to squeeze them all in one episode if I can, just throw your ideas out there, but don't guess ahead because I've still got some more to go. Okay, here's another word. Unless previously defined as meaning something, like in our pre-talk that we use at our center, we say if the hypnotist uses the word sleep, he or she does not mean sleep like normal, natural sleep. It's just shorthand for go deeply relaxed, look like you're asleep, right? So unless this has been defined as not meaning sleep, we should get rid of the word sleep because this is a very old idea that hypnosis is some kind of sleep. Now, and I'm thinking about taking up the challenge. Most of you out here watch this know about my 8-word induction. And the last word in it is sleep. And so I'm thinking about how I can use alternative words, like just, something like down deeper. something like that. And if you got an idea that words we can use instead of sleep, please leave it in the comments section. What do you think about that, Brenda?
Well, I know actually yesterday, Cal, when you mentioned this topic, and that was the first word that I came up with, even though I know that I use the word sleep, so to speak, all of the time, and I know you're a great wordsmith, words mean a lot to you, and you're always thinking about that, and you know, I've definitely been challenged with that. And we always set up with people, we're not talking about sleep. We want you to be conscious. We want you to be awake. We want you to be aware of what's happening. But it is true. We use that word, and we have to be sure that people understand. We don't mean, you know, check out and be gone for 20 minutes or 40 minutes while we're in session, right?
Perfect. Yeah. And so, you know, we mention it in the pre-talk, and then bam, we go with it. You know, let's think about alternatives. I mean, we would be better off if we could banish the word sleep completely from the profession. All right, good. So, if we don't use the word sleep, then we should get rid of the word awaken or wake up. Because, like, people when they emerge, they'll say, okay, when I count from one to three, I want you to wake up. And the problem with wake up or awaken is it implies that you should have been asleep. And since we're getting rid of this notion of sleep from the profession in the first place, it would send exactly the wrong message at the end of a session for us to tell clients, okay, count from one to three, I want you to wake up. Because the first thing that's going to hit their mind is, well, wait a minute, I haven't been asleep. Maybe none of this worked. Maybe I did this wrong. Does that make sense to you?
Oh my goodness, yes, definitely.
All right, good. So instead, what should we do? We say emerge, emerge. Instead of putting people, you know, under hypnosis, we induce hypnosis. When instead of waking them up, we emerge them. So, you know, obviously, if we're trying to get rid of these negative words, these dirty dozen hypnosis words, then what do we want to do? We want to give some thought to how we want to move the profession forward by replacing these words with things that are positive and accurate. Good, okay. So, here's another thing. This word waking, this is different than wake up or awaken. Waking, we hear about normal waking consciousness or normal waking suggestibility. And it's time for us to get rid of that word waking, because once again, it implies that when we do hypnosis, we do sleep. Instead, we want to offer words like normal state of suggestibility or normal suggestibility. So hypnosis, we define it as a heightened state of suggestibility. That's the way the five pathers look at it. Doesn't matter if you're relaxed, doesn't matter if you're crying, doesn't matter if you're stiff and rigid like a bar of steel. If you're in a heightened state of suggestibility, you're in hypnosis. So when you're, but we are, notice the word heightened state of suggestibility. That is a statement that says before we go into the heightened state of suggestibility, we're in a normal state of suggestibility. So with that in mind, let's get rid of this waking hypnosis, waking suggestibility. And let's go with a normal state of suggestibility. Anything you want to add to that, Brenda?
No, I was just kind of actually absorbing all of that, Cal, really thinking about that. I realized that that's something that I think about for myself, but I don't necessarily use that word with my clients. But it is a really good thing to be keeping in mind when we're talking about normal state of suggestibility, normal state of consciousness, as well as the other realms when we are doing our work.
Cool. Perfect. So if you look at the first four words I had were, you know, under, susceptibility, succumb, control. And those are all words that indicate that the client is powerless or under our, you know, undue influence, negatively influenced, that kind of thing. The next three words had to do with this understanding the state of consciousness that we're in hypnosis. So then the next ones have to do with medical terms. We got to get rid of this word of coma state, hypnotic coma. Coma is a medical term, and nobody wants to go into a coma. I mean, nobody. And so trying to take someone into coma state, there's just nothing positive about that word at all. Instead, we should use the Easdale state, named after the person who discovered this state. What do you think about that, Brenda?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I love actually when you're using these words and I think, wait, I don't use those words, but I appreciate the fact that you're talking about it this way.
Cool. Here's another one. I see new people come into this profession or want to come to this profession, and they say, oh, Cal, how would you treat this client? Or what kind of treatment would you give this? What kind of treatments do you offer at your clinic? You know, and these are medical terms. And hypnotists don't treat people. That's what medical professionals do. They provide a treatment. They do a diagnosis, and the diagnosis indicates treatment. They have their own world. They've built their profession. They have a right to those terms. Let's not us use them. Those are medical terms. We're going to get rid of treatment and treat. Instead, we're going to say, I work with so-and-so, or I help so-and-so. I help people with hypnosis. I did some age regression work. I did some parts work. And so let's, as much as we can, get away from this kind of loose association with medicine. We're not doctors. We're not pharmacists. We don't want to be associated with that. By the way, a lot of the people that we work with have tried everything else. They tried the books, they tried the CDs, all that self-help stuff. They've seen counselors, they've seen the priest, they've certainly gone to the doctor. And when all that fails, we don't want to keep using the same kind of failed vocabulary. We want to offer them something different, okay? I'm going to help you, I'm going to work with you. I have a completely different thing to offer you. And when they hear that, it's like, oh, wow, that's good. Because if you just keep doing what they've been doing, they're going to keep getting what they've been getting. What do you think about that, Brenda?
Exactly. We are definitely here as the people who, you know, people have tried everything else. And so, you know, definitely. Sorry, I was trying to think of something more brilliant to say. I was noticing my clock, Cal. We are getting a little long in the time.
Yep.
Do you want to continue, or do you want to...
I want to power forward.
All right.
Because the next two terms are really in the same vein.
Oh, good.
We also don't want to use the word patient. Because doctors and nurses, psychiatrists, medical people have patients. We have clients, people who hire us as consulting hypnotists, or in some cases, hypnotherapists. And so that is a client who has hired us. We're not treating them. And also the next word, so number 10 was patient, number 11 is clinic. People say, Cal, what kind of service do you offer your clinic? Where's your clinic? And I don't have a clinic. Clinic is a place where medical work is done. Instead, say my office, if you're the lone hypnotist. If you have two or more hypnotists that come together, then you have a center. So I'd like to offer that. So it's still in the same vein. Now here's the big one. Here's the big one, and I want your comments about this. Absolutely, completely, without even a second thought, reject the label lay hypnotist. If you've been through my course or any really good course, like 100 hours or more, okay, you are not a lay hypnotist, especially if you are actually using what you've learned, you had good quality training, and you continue to grow in the profession. You are not a lay hypnotist. If you look at people in the medical profession or the psychological profession, they consider themselves to be professionals after a weekend's worth of training in hypnotism. That's right, certification in some of those other professions, it within their profession is like a weekend certification. Our students spend 2 weeks here, over 100 hours. And, you know, they're doing 12 hours a day in class and studying, doing the work, and then go into a situation where they're continuing studying study materials, seeing clients. And so absolutely, completely, without hesitation, reject the term lay hypnotist if you are certified and you have been trained. If anyone deserves the term lay hypnotist, it is the doctor or the physician who's only had a weekend certification, or anyone that's only had 8 to 16 hours certification. Do it on the side. Someone that does it on the side, like they're a medical doctor and they dabble in hypnosis, or they're a psychologist and they dabble in hypnosis. Those are the lay hypnotists. We who do this profession full time, and this is all we do, or 90% of what we do, we are the professionals in this profession. What do you think of that, Brenda?
I actually really support this one, especially Cal, because it's very true. When people talk to me about what is the difference between my doctor or my dentist or my psychologist doing hypnosis with me and you doing it, that is exactly what I say, is that I specialize in doing hypnosis work. And that is my primary modality. It's what I'm trained to do. It's what I do all day, every day with my clients. And so I think that that is a really great way to approach that term. I'm a professional hypnotist. This is what I do. I specialize in hypnosis, as opposed to the other types of professionals that they specialize in different things and they might do hypnosis here and there. Great point.
Awesome. What an information-packed episode. Thank you so much, Brenda.
Thank you, Cal. It was so interesting to hear the ones I thought, well, of course we don't use those words, but I do realize that I am still relatively new in the profession and learned most everything I know from you. So I've already been pretty good about deleting a lot of these words from my vocabulary, but it is very good to be aware that they are out there and being in use, and why we would want to know, because I know that words do matter. So thank you so much for this topic today, Cal.
Awesome. Anything else you want to say?
I think that's it. Keep in touch. I can be reached at Brenda at OC Hypnotherapy, or my website, OCHypnotherapy.com. I'm also available on Facebook under Healing Path Hypnosis and our hypnospace as Brenda Titus. So keep in touch. Leave your questions down below. We'd love to hear from you guys. Have a great day.
Perfect. Hey, you guys, I want to see you in class. We've got a certification class coming up January 18th to the 29th with 2 days off in the middle because it's the weekend. And that's the NGH-approved Banyan Hypnosis Certification Super Course. Includes 5-path, 7-path, secret language of feelings, and you're just going to be blown away. Also, in February, the 25th through the 29th, guess what? We got the National Guild of Hypnotists Solid Gold Weekend, and you're going to see some leaders in the profession who are 5-pathers speaking and really taking some more leadership role there at the Solid Gold Weekend. I'll be speaking, Erica will be speaking, and Celeste will be speaking. I think that's all. Do you think of anyone else, Brenda?
I think that's it. Yeah,
all right. That's
plenty.
Cool.
That's a lot.
Awesome. All right, you guys. Sorry I ran over. We'll do some shorter ones the next 2 or 3. That's Cal Banyan. Signing out.
This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and the Banyan Hypnosis Center for Training and Services, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only. May not be duplicated without permission. For contact information, go to www.hypnosiscenter.com.